I'll entertain a motion then.
I move that we accept the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are accepted as read. Next item on the agenda is oral communications. Anyone having wishing to address the board on business that is not before, city business that is not before this board on the agenda, you may do so now. No one? Moving on. Presentations and action items. And item 4-1, Rick, would you like to introduce that?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, board members. Actually, I might ask with a question first. What's your pleasure? Would you like to have me cover the staff report? Would you like me just to go through the package, a real brief report, and just cover the various packages? Or
you know, I looked at, there's an awful lot of meat here.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And I would just as soon have you identify that area that you think would be most valuable for us and move on from there, and then we can, if there's additional comments or questions, then we'll take those up as they come along.
Okay. I think I'll give it a try. I think I got what you said. The recommendation here is receive this report, take public comment, and recommend the City Council support package number one developed by the Harbor Fishing and Public Access representatives in the Central Coast Regional Stakeholders Group of the Marine Life Protection Act. We heard a report in December from the public outreach coordinator on background of this, so I didn't repeat a lot of that. I did give you an update in the body of the report what has happened since December. The most important thing was that in March, in Seaside, the Blue Ribbon Task Force did recommend three packages to the Fish and Game Department and the Fish and Game Commission. I have included those three packages here, the summary, the maps depicting the three packages in your packet. And I'm recommending that you recommend to the City Council that they support package one. And I'll briefly reiterate here out of the body of the report if I can find it. Package 1 meets the SAC guidelines, the Science Advisory Team guidelines, and is compliance with the Marine Life Protection Act, while admittedly minimizing the negative impacts to our harbor and coastal-dependent businesses by preserving access to some of the fishing grounds. Both Package 2R and 3R protect more than is required by law. How about that for a brief update? If you'd like, we could cover the differences in the package. You've all got them here. Would you like to ask questions?
Well, I believe that there are a number of things, and I tend to zero in on Morro Bay. And I noticed that in Package 1, that the very south portion of Morro Bay, I guess we don't have anything up on the board there. Anyhow, the south portion of the bay is identified as a state marine reserve. Now, just what does that mean? Means no fishing, but are you allowed?
Yes, and that was a relatively unique. You might remember December, that was a part of the discussion that we had, and mm-hmm. I portrayed to you at that time that that was one of the most difficult areas I was having to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
There was local people who were members of the regional stakeholders group that wanted more of the, well, I think, let's see if it's reflected in package three, I think with the Morro, there's different packages, 2R and 3R. There's differences in Morro Bay. You might look at those.
Mm-hmm.
I think those reflect closer to the what some others in the community were advocating for protection for Morro Bay. In the end, we tried to compromise in the package. I was working on package one and designate that area as a state marine reserve. Our intention was much like, as shown here, this SMRMA, which I think the intention is to do as a special kind of reserve with a regulation overriding it that says that this in no way affects waterfowl hunting and waterfowl hunting regulations as they are set by the Fish and Game separately under separate law.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our dialogue in Package 1 also with that particular area.
So you had a dialogue that goes along with Package 1?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
As it stands right now, does this Package 1 envision no boating back there?
I do not. No. I can say Package 1 does not envision no boating back there.
Okay.
I think you can boat back there, but I don't know about anchoring up.
There you
go. I don't think so. The anchorage, and then you can go paddle back there and do what they want.
Mm-hmm. So. Do the halibut fishing in the back bay there? They kayak, canoe, sailboard, windsurf, just go out in a rowboat. I'm just curious how restrictive this is to SMR. I don't feel as though it's very well overfished. It's just mostly a few people going out in a kayak or in an evening rowboat just to go out and catch a halibut. I have a lot of concern about changing that. Maybe, if you could get it back to the Shark Inlet or something like that. But most of, I don't know what the SMR consists of. So it's hard for me to support that.
I could give you a little reaction that might help you understand how we got here from my perspective. And I sort of describe in the body of this report the process that I saw, my perspective of how we got there. And I was in the Part 2 section that said, well, we're going to do as best we can to comply with the law and minimize the socioeconomic impacts in our community. And this was a hot issue, how much protection in Morro Bay. In fact, if any of you watched the Morro Bay meeting of the Blue Room Task Force, we were personally addressed by the chairman, I myself, and others about urging us to come together on this Morro Bay issue and compromise. And in fact, they were not happy that we did not, in fact, move all the way toward or move toward that we were not able to compromise, even though I felt this was a substantial compromise myself. They didn't view it that way. So that's a sort of a flavor, a taste of how it all went. It was clear to me that when we looked at it initially in our proposal, we had proposed the South Bay Boulevard area, for lack of a better word, I'm trying to think of it. And in the science advisory team analysis, because there seemed to be more desire by local people who are advocating for more protection for Morro Bay to cover that South Bay area, and more importantly in our decision-making process, because the science advisory team said that there was habitat that had value in the overall package in that south area, especially eelgrass, that they did not identify right or wrong. And I'm not sure I believe that they had it exactly right, but right or wrong, they didn't have any eelgrass habitat in that South Bay Boulevard area. So that's why we chose that area to improve the overall package with the habitat values, and because we felt like that was the best compromise we could make from the local input we were getting.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question before I let everybody else jump in here. On Package 2R and 3R, they've identified a new area, one that I hadn't seen before and hadn't been made aware of, and that was the State Marine Recreational Management Area. What is that, and what does that consist of?
I'm not sure I know. I really can't tell you what. And maybe the best answer I can give you is it is my belief that nobody exactly knows what the rules are, the specific rules are, as this process might get codified. As a network is adopted, specific rules for each site will be adopted. And I believe their intention with that designation was, from the dialogue I heard, but I did not go to the Seaside meeting, so I don't know what the Blue Ribbon Task Force intended, but I believe those designations were given because they wanted to. I think most parties accepted the fact that it would be best to exclude wildfowl regulations that would make it clear, at least there's a belief generally that wildfowl regulations would not be included in any fishing in this part of the implementation MLPA anyway, so that they were trying to show in that way that it was clear that there was not any attempt to step on the Fish and Game's role in setting wildfowl regulations. I think that's why that designation is special, but to be honest with you, I can't tell, partly because I wasn't participating in that meeting and also partly because I think the rules are not finally written yet.
Mm-hmm. Gene?
Well, getting back to the south end of Morro Bay here, that appears in Package 2R. That's the area that they designated as State Marine Recreational Management Area. So, but the rest of it is more restrictive as far as fishing, but they're giving you, it's a give and take, is that what I see here? They're allowing you to have some management in the back bay in the second package, but in the first package they're not allowing you to do, I don't know what.
Well, it's the State Marine Reserve, so in, for example, you're looking at 2R.
Right.
It shows that SM for the audience there, SMRMA for the back, very back bay, south part of the bay. And I believe that means State Marine Recreational Management Area, or excuse me, State Marine Reserve. And they submitted it to the Blue Ribbon Task Force about 7 to 10 days before their seaside meeting with a recommendation that the task force adopt the staff's package. And as there is substantial hard feelings in some members of the Central Coast Regional Stakeholders Group that happened that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to open it up for anybody else that would like to. Ed?
Yeah, well, first of all, this number one package was developed by a number of fishermen, both recreational and commercial. Along with one of the scientists from the science advisory team. And we went and we did habitat maps, all of them down the coast. We wanted to comply with the law, but we didn't want to get completely put out of business, have economic harm to us. So after quite a bit of meetings, we gave them what we thought we could for their habitat, both the deep water, the sandy bottom, the rocky bottom, and did it all up and down. And then, of course, the other groups that were involved, besides us, that put these other recommendations out, didn't like that much. And there is a certain percentage of that Blue Ribbon Task Force that would like to see no fishing if they could. Believe me, they're there. But we work hard for this, and I think it's a good package as we can promote at the time. In fact, if I was going to choose this and had to choose it, I would say that with the letter of recommendation to the council that we do this, would be the most restrictive one. And then if the Fish and Game could see to even cut this back a little bit, that would be helpful. I doubt that they will. Mm-hmm. But the point is that we want to comply with the law, but we didn't want to get wrecked in the process. Mm-hmm. And so we were real careful, and we did a lot of work on this. And I wasn't the one that did the majority of the work. It was Tom Hafer and quite a few other people involved. I just happened to be at the meetings because they used my office. But anyway, that's what I know about it, and this whole process has been real twisted from the start. As I said before, you know, the state got the money from the Legacy Resources Foundation, and they got to choose the scientists that were on the team. And that's kind of like, it's a little worse than being a lobbyist, because they said, well, if we like your program, what you adopt, we'll go ahead and fund some more of it to implement. They may not even have the enforcement money for this. There's also, to tell you the truth, there's a lawsuit by the Sport Fishing Group. I think it's Coastwide Fishing Group. I'm not sure. Over that very issue, the money involved and the influence involved and how it went about with our state process and our public process and how we felt that we're being misrepresented. We felt that Fish and Game Commissions should have chose the scientists from the start, and they should have just given the money to the state and said, okay, state, here's some money, go implement it. But they didn't. They had lots of strings attached there. I don't know if that lawsuit will come to fruition or what will happen with it, but I know it's ongoing at the time. And there's other issues besides that that will probably happen at the commission. They have no data on marine reserves in this area. And a lot of the times, some of the environmental promoters were citing marine reserves in other areas that work, but they weren't the same types as here. There may be some that have worked, but we don't have that data here now. And the point is that this whole thing got started because everybody said, oh, our oceans are in peril. You know, Pew Charitable Trust did a Pew Oceans Deal did a survey on that, and so did several other environmental organizations. And they're probably right in some ways, but they didn't do the study out here. And there were several scientists, both at on the MIG group, that came and did a talk there at the MIG group, and they said that they thought our central coast area was pretty dang healthy. And the two fish and game scientists that were reviewed at the Blue Ribbon Task Force thought so awful also that the central coast was healthy. So the need for too many of these is just going to make an economic damage for everybody. And all I can say is that we only have three choices here, and I would recommend that we do take package one, because that's the least damaging from what our standpoint is, and that there'll be more hash out, I'm sure, at the commission meetings. So, you know, that's about what I have to say about it.
Anyone else? Go ahead.
Yeah, having to choose
one. Is your mic on?
I think it is.
Okay.
Having to choose one of three plans when you have no definitions as to the differences between conservation area, park, recreational management area, and reserve is most disconcerting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How can they demand it?
Well, my problem with the whole thing is, you know, the same thing as with Jane and Lynn. We don't really have any information. I'm using these those words possible, but we feel that the city really doesn't have the information to make an intelligent decision on this.
Can I give you a little more information for your discussion to continue? Is that we. You know, each of these packages has pretty detailed proposed regulations for each of the area. In other words, some areas may prohibit salmon fishing, certain types of other fishing, and a conservation area allows some fishing. So we detailed some fishing in some areas, what was important. Reserves generally prohibit all fishing. That's the definition of a reserve. The State Marine Park allows recreational fishing. That's a general thing. The conservation areas are where the detailed regulations proposed for each packet. I can provide those to you. You can re-agendize it for May if that would be helpful to you. The State Marine Reserve Management Area, I have to tell you, that never came up. I wasn't aware that was an option. All the 6 months I sat through the regional stakeholders group, nobody told us that was something they could do. This is something that came up in the last month, and to be honest, I don't know what it is, but I assume that we can get a definition for that too and what that means. And we can provide you that material if you'd like to re-agendize it too.
Okay, I have one more question for you then, Rick. Was there anything in any of these that says there's a sunset clause here and that we will go back and revisit and see just how they're working and possibly revise some of these areas, change their designations and things like that?
No, nothing that exactly like that, but the concept is certainly there in adaptive management, which means that this law actually writes in that the Fish and Game Department will use adaptive management, and that should mean that they will react to successes and failures and ability to apply research funds or not and change, modify, delete, add areas as time evolves.
But there's no a time frame that there's no. Nothing that says in 3 months, 3 years, 3 decades we will revisit this and see what's going on.
No, I don't think so.
Roger, did you have something?
Yes. when is the council meeting? When does a decision need to be made on this?
End of June, probably. Would be certainly by end of June, I would think we would get a comments in.
So it's not agendized in the immediate future for the council?
I put it on tentative agenda for April 24th. I think I'm going to go call him tomorrow and tell him to take it off, just from what I'm hearing tonight. So you have time to formulate a recommendation, or you can formulate a recommendation tonight.
Well, I think that more information would be helpful. But after attending the meetings down at the Inn at Morro Bay for a good portion of both days, it was very frustrating that people worked really hard putting together three different possible scenarios, and then basically to have them summarily dismissed. And that's why, you know, at this point, particularly if it needed to move forward quickly, I would opt for package number one, because it is least restrictive. And as you point out, Don, the chances of them backing off on something that's in place are a lot less likely to happen than having them increased. So I think I commented at one of those meetings that mankind is not an invasive species. And some of them seem to have the idea that we are. There's been a lot of backing off on types of fishing, shortening of seasons, no takes on certain species. There's been a lot done. And as you pointed out, they're not allowed to fish for endangered species. If there is not a problem, then they can still fish for them. That's the law. And I really think that with the closing basically of the drag boats, which were probably the most invasive of the types of fishing we have here, I think that we have to go with the package that does the least harm, although it's going to be a big gulp for our fishing community. Recreational fishing is going to be greatly impacted. Our commercial fishermen are going to be greatly impacted. And with a lot of this, unlike with salmon when they've had drought years, there's good, clear science that explains why something is being done. The benefits are there. The fishermen buy in because it's good science. It makes sense.
Mandy?
Yeah, I have several questions and I have several comments. I've provided some information to the rest of the board by the NRDC, and it has to do with how effective, you know, marine protected areas are in other places in the world. Actually, these are in the United States. Some of them are similar, some of them aren't. And, I encourage everybody to read that. I also agree with the fact that we should put this off. There isn't enough information on what the definitions are. And that's something that's really important. I do have a question for you, Rick. Were you part of the Blue Ribbon Task Force?
No.
What were you part of?
The Central Coast Regional Stakeholders Group.
Okay. And you make reference to the fact that the Blue Ribbon Task Force has basically chosen three packages to put in front of the Fish and Game Commission, and they have recommended one, and that was the 3R, right?
Yes.
Okay, so bottom line is what you are asking us to do as a board is to go against the Blue Ribbon Task Force recommendations, yes?
It's different than the Blue Ribbon Task Force, yes.
Okay.
Recommendation.
But that's basically what you're asking us to do. Okay, what I'm about to tell you is I have taken a look at all of the packages, and it is my opinion that the number two package is the package that is probably going to be the one that at least I personally would recommend, and I know quite a few other organizations would recommend that. And there's a variety of different reasons. You've made some assertions here in your letter to the board that I take a little bit of umbrage with. I'm sure you realized I would do that. You do state that while admittedly minimizing the negative impacts to our harbor and coastal dependent businesses, I'm not exactly sure how that's minimizing it, but you also say that it is barely meeting the legal limits to what a marine protected area is.
I didn't say barely. I said it met the legal...
Well, it's
legal
barely. It's barely meeting them. So what I find to be really interesting is everybody is looking at this, or they're characterizing this particular package, number one, as the least restrictive. And there's another way that you can look at it. Restrictive is a really negative word. But if you're to look at, and there you have characterized throughout this, that basically, you have insinuated that marine protected areas have not been proven to work, which I do have information here that they do, that science does not really particularly support it, and I would like to read you something eventually, but we have time, so I can wait on that too. And that the smaller, the better. Well, there's also scientific research and evidence that shows that the reality is size does matter on these, that the larger marine protected areas sometimes are easier to manage and they are better for the habitat and for the species involved. And in the long run, they're better for the fisheries. And do I have time to read a couple of those quotes? Or is this something that we can go into at a little bit later date since we're putting it off?
Yes, I'd like to. It's fine. But
does the board want to hear?
What's the feeling of the board?
If you're referring to the document that you handed me just before.
Yeah. No, actually, yeah, I am, yes, and several other documents that I have that are, they're talking about size-relatable information and how restrictive these things can be and are not.
I personally would prefer the time and opportunity to read them in their entirety rather than to have somebody paraphrase them. And beyond that, I still cannot understand what the acronym NRDC stands for.
National Resource Defense Center. I have other information. Actually, this is great because I have a packet of information I would like to get to everybody, and it'll give me a chance. But the point that I wanted to make about the restrictive versus non-restrictive is MPAs are designed to establish a protective area for an ecosystem, and they're designed to not be single species management, but to take a look at an entire ecosystem and take a look at the health of that, and to allow a particular ecosystem to come back into balance and into health. So for me, I look at that as not necessarily, if you set up a marine protected area, this is not a restriction. It is actually something that is enabling the entire ecosystem. It's something that is good for the fisheries in the long run, and I don't see it as restriction at all. It is exactly the opposite from an environmental and an ecosystem standpoint. So to utilize that word, I mean, we all go, you know, we get the heebie-jeebies when we start talking about restrictions. And none.
A conservation area, whatever you're doing, it's still going to restrict it. And so the word restrictive, it makes sense here.
The point I was making with restrictive is absolutely anytime you set up a park, something like that, a reserve, there are rules and regulations that need to be enforced. But what I was trying to do is to take the word and actually take what we're looking at doing and maybe looking at it from another standpoint, from another paradigm, and to look at it as not necessarily something that's purely restrictive, but something that's expansive.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have some comments. Number one, maybe large marine protected areas are good for unhealthy places. But as far as I know, we have a healthy ecosystem out here, and they're not necessary here. Number two, this NRDC outfit is a biased organization. They're strictly tight environmentalists. They've sued the federal state governments all over the United States. They've had 180 lawsuits in a, I don't know, 3 or 4 year period, which 160 of them were thrown out, but it still costs money and time. And usually when outfits like this are go to court to sue over an environmental issue, if you bring the data forward and you're willing to challenge them at their assumptions, and I'm saying assumptions, then they'll drop it. They just dropped one recently that we just funded with the West Coast Seafood Food Processors over groundfish, total allowable catch stuff. So this report here, I mean, they might be a good organization to some, but to me they have a bias. And I'm sure that she thinks commercial fishermen have a bias. They probably do. But there's a point I'm trying to make. We just funded a peer review with the scientific advisory team. They were told to set up a program for marine protected areas. But those scientists on that scientific advisory team were chosen by environmental groups with the exception of maybe one of the guys there. And I know that a peer review is going to shine some light on what's been going on. That peer review hopefully will come out before June. I'm not sure when it's going to be. But that the fact that this shows marine reserves, I mean, you can go to a tropical setting where fish grow fast, but they don't have as many species we have, maybe, but they grow faster than you. That might work. And it might work here in some instances. That's not the problem. The problem is they're doing something without the data that they need. And they did have a marine reserve, a small one at Big Creek, but they didn't do enough research on it to get positive data that we know is going on. So rather than just to tighten up a whole area with restrictive marine reserves, they ought to at least get some scientific data first. Because what happens if you get too many of these reserves in, you're going to squeeze fishermen into smaller areas, and they're going to have a more of a damage impact in that area than it would have been in the first place. And I'm sure the commission will take this into account. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see that peer review comes out. I don't think it'll come out before our next meeting. But I'm still advising to go with option number one. And that's my view.
Okay. Any other? Jim?
I want to go back for a minute and ask a question or two about the definitions, particularly what is restricted by the State Marine Reserve and all of that. First of all, I'd like to ask Rick, your group, did you have anything to do, your group that is, with the definition of what each of these areas represents in terms of restrictions?
Sorry. So my memory of the process is that we were given these three general areas, State Marine Parks, State Marine Conservation Areas, and State Marine Reserves, with an outline that a State Marine Reserve meant it had to prohibit fishing altogether. A State Marine Conservation Area meant it could allow certain types of fishing and prohibit certain types of fishing, sort of a midpoint. And a Marine Park, which we have designated one of our package number one up by Cambria, and I believe the other packages have a similar park area up there, is for recreational fishing only. So within that context, then, we all went to work and developed the regulations that we thought would be best to comply with the law, and then it came and there was layers and layers of input that we would get when we generally, for example, package one, we tried to meet the guidelines of the science advisory team and minimize socioeconomic, especially fishing impacts. And then we would get laid on size and spacing requirements from the science advisory team, and they'd say, well, you're not big enough, you're not little, you know, you're this and that, and you don't have enough this type habitat. And so it got very, very complicated. So we adjusted that throughout. Now, at this point, each package, I believe, does have a base document, and it's not terrible. So it appears that the commission will have, since one would presume they'll take the three recommended by the Blue Ribbon Task Force and one from their staff, the commission will have at least four packages to review. And one might assume that the commission may choose to make changes in the regulations, too. They're detail-oriented people. They deal with detailed regulations all the time. So all I can give you is where we are right now, and that's what I will do for the next meeting.
Kind of the second part of that, then, since you've provided part of that answer, it sounds to me that most of these areas, their primary focus is to either allow or restrict fishing, and it has nothing specifically to do with other activities, other water-related activities that may take place in those areas, such as, you know, kayaking or boating or water skiing or whatever other kind of activity, scuba diving.
Yes, I think that's fair. I would, going into the process, I wasn't sure how those uses would work out. It does appear currently Big Creek is a no-contact area as it was set up by law in 92, I think. And that was a concern that this process might delve into no contact, no boating type. At this point, I do not believe those type of regulations are incorporated into any package other than potentially keeping what's at Big Creek. But that doesn't mean, you know, obviously those could. And I would add to that a layer that I found frustrating is that the law talks about water quality. It's my own opinion, in this matter I do admit his opinion, that water quality and pollution are far more important to the environment, and it's, if there are problems in California, especially in our area, it's almost all related to water quality and pollution, and yet the MLPA never really, it's in the law, but we can never really get those issues, tried to address those issues. It always seemed to be about fishing, no, yes or no. So it was focused on fishing.
Can I ask a question? But the MLPA was...
I just recognized...
I apologize.
The comment I was going to make is that this... Your suggestion that Fish and Game is now going to come forth with another set of regulations, it feels like a very large scale of trying to build a bridge to solve a flooding problem between two small towns and a small bay, and ending up with 9 state and federal agencies all involved wanting to have a turf war. And that's the most frustrating thing, is that the stakeholders, the people who are invested in the area for their livelihood and their futures, who really want to preserve their futures, are not really being able to participate. And Mandy, with all due respect, you know, the idea of a restriction, you know, when my kids were put on restriction growing up, they didn't call it enablement. And they knew that they, you know, this is good for you, sounds nice and all, but they knew what it felt like. And when you say things like allowing the environment to become functional again infers that it is not functional right now. And I don't think that the case is in to certainly prove that. There may be some issues, but this is not a terribly degraded environment out there like some areas that need far more attention. And I think that taking a gentler approach is the way to go, although, you know, I won't be surprised if the local players have nothing to do with it and bigger agencies try to force something else on that isn't even before us right now.
Mandy?
Roger, I appreciate your comment about putting kids on restriction, but I think that's a little overly simplistic when we're looking at a much broader picture here, which brings me to the next point. MLPA was set up, that whole process was to set up marine protected areas. In other words, the habitat protection, you know, when putting together the reserves and this whole map of things that we're looking at right now. And it wasn't set up to address the point source, you know, the pollution issues, all of the other issues that we all know are there and that are really huge issues. Isn't this the case, that it was really specifically set up just for this purpose?
I would qualify the answer. It was there was a Marine Life Management Act, a Marine Life Protection Act, and another act in 98, 99, and 2000. They all were taken together, mounted.
Who would like to speak? No. Okay. When people come in after we bring it back to the board, it's sort of a little bit of a problem there. Anyhow, Ed, you have indicated that you would like to recommend that we recommend to the City Council that they go on record as supporting Package 1 with possibly with... Yes. And if you would like to make that, I'm sure that Roger will second, and then we can put this thing to bed one way or the other.
I'll make the motion. I don't know if some of these people wanted more information, but I think they're not going to get anything that's going to clarify it any more than what it is now, because they could change those restrictions anyway. So I'll make a motion that we send a letter to ask the City Council if they would send a letter to the Fish and Game Commission supporting package number 1 of the MLPA process.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. We do have. Okay. Discussion. Any further discussion? Mandy, you...
Well, yeah, I refrained from making some comments and getting information out to everybody, assuming that we were going to table this so I could get more information out to people. So I'm feeling like my hands were tied there a little bit. But.
Well, just as a matter of protocol, if you bring information that you feel that we should be discussing, I feel that it's important that we get this information beforehand and are allowed to read it so that it isn't just dropped in on us with you being the only one that understands what's in the package. Any further discussion?
I'm really concerned about the State Marine Reserve and its designation. I don't know whether it's going to allow people to use their boats in the back bay or not.
I think so.
Okay. Lynn?
Yeah, we are, though, going to absolutely have to vote one of these three packages. Is that not the case?
Actually, we don't have to, but we probably should. But whether we do it tonight
or in
I really think that, quite frankly, that we do need to make some action as soon as possible, because the longer we wait, the less likely it is for this information to go forward. So I'm just that's just my feeling. I think that you could, if you wanted to, give a friendly amendment that would say that we feel this way, but we are also looking into this further. That we actually tell the city council that we think that the...
Okay.
Do you want to do a friendly amendment that says something like that?
Yes, I would offer an amendment that says we feel that package number one will be the one most favorable, but that we are still looking at the definitions of the terms involved.
Okay, so that would be... Now we have... We have the motion, and we have a second, and...
It's kind of a conflicting amendment. I mean, I don't mind the amendment, but if what you say is true, and the longer we wait, the harder it is to get the information to the Fish and Game Commission. You know, you can probably go on the Blue Ribbon Task Force website or the MLPA website and find out what these definitions are. And if there's a problem, you can, there's time... By next month, we could ask them to write the letter, but maybe not mail it until our next meeting. So at least it's done. But I would just assume we'll package one tonight. But if you don't want to, that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. With the friendly amendment, if
just may I interrupt? The friendly amendment has not been accepted yet.
It has not been accepted. No,
we're okay. Well. My comment is that I think that the more we can align ourselves with the other stakeholders, whether it's Monterey, Port San Luis, the other agencies, if we all come in from a different direction, that would be the best. That would be delightful to people who would like to see something else, a divide and conquer thing. I feel it's important, even if it's not, if it doesn't. If not everything in it makes you happy, it's still important to go to give the city council the idea that we feel more comfortable with this than the others, so that they can carry a message forward.
Mandy Davis. I believe that takes care of that portion of the agenda.
I'm going to clarify that I'm going to provide additional information in the May package. And we will have to look at, you know, since the item wasn't tabled, it was dealt with, we'll have to deal with that in proper procedures. But I'm sure that we can provide you the information. You still desire the additional information, correct?
I think we do.
Okay.
I believe that based on the friendly amendment that said that we will update our recommendation at a later date if we find it's necessary, okay. Then basically we need this additional information. Ed indicated that you could go onto the website and probably get those definitions, but any additional packages that went forward with the words and music that went along with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed, that is on the MLPA website. Each of the packages has their descriptions.
Okay.
Along with the maps.
Okay, then we will, we'll talk.
What is the address for that?
I know that if you Google Marine Life Protection Act, Marine Life Protection Act, you come up with the MLPA.
MLPA,
website.
Google.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Even if you go to Fishing Game's homepage,
yeah, that's another way.
They have a direct link.
They got a button to Marine Life Protection Act.
Okay, that was item 4-1. We're moving on to item 4-2. Assessment of current harbor services and development of harbor strategic plan. Do you want to
just
start?
Briefly, this is a continuation of last month's item. I am asking you, trying to, with all respect, I would ask you to maybe reconsider your direction. And I put in here that if I write a letter, it's, you know, I think that it would have more impact, for one thing, from the Harbor Advisory Board potentially to work with me in writing a letter, which was your direction. If maybe I should have reviewed that in your last. We heard this agenda item about the demise of commercial fishing and traditional support businesses here, and received public input, received letters from outside on the situation. You recommended that I write a letter to the City Council that you could to inform the situation, and I'm suggesting to you that perhaps a better way might be to appoint someone, a subcommittee, or appoint someone to work with me, and we could come up with a letter that you could review at your next meeting, or simply refer the matter to City Council, and they'll, you know, tell me to write a letter or decide themselves, write a letter or not.
Okay. I'm inclined to say that we'll provide a one or two members of the board to work with you writing this letter. What is the feeling of the board? Yes? Gene?
I'll serve on a subcommittee if you need.
Well, I'll be more than happy to put you on. Jim, do you agree that we should take a recommendation?
I think that would be a good option, yes.
Okay.
To incorporate some of the others who have an involvement in that.
Mandy?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm going to do is ask for volunteers.
Okay.
Who? There's a volunteer? Okay. We can't have three. We could go up as high as three, can't we? The Brown Act will let us do three. Okay, I'm appointing myself as the third. Unless the board...
Oh, no, I've got plenty to do. Thank you. Thank you for volunteering.
Okay, so the subcommittee to help prepare this strategic plan and to also to recommend to the City Council the Harbor Board's action. And after this meeting is over, I'd like to have a couple of minutes where we can work with Rick and come up with a date where we can all meet and start talking about this.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we have, this is still an action item. Is it closed now because of the of what we are going to do, or do you still want to discuss this? Okay. I think that basically... Well, this is a very important thing, and I don't want to really drop it just yet, but on the other hand, if we're going to be working on a letter for the May meeting, perhaps we ought to just move on. We have another large one involved here, too, the Green Cities Declaration.
Declaration.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. I read through this and tried to figure out just exactly what it was we were doing, but I became a little bit confused in there. There's it just looks like a big shopping list of everything you could possibly want to do. It depend, and it doesn't matter what city, you could go to Tokyo or anywhere else, and everybody wants to do this. This is, anyhow. I'm going to drop off of the bandwagon right now and ask for public input. Is there none? Okay. It looks to me like we're supposed to come up with three items. And as near as I can tell after reading these things is that these items are going to come off of this list that we got from San Francisco, from the city of San Francisco. Is that correct? Yeah, well, that was our PWAB, and they seem to be a little confused, too, from what
I believe that's what you're being asked to review is the San Francisco Urban Environmental Accord issues and potentially recommend or identify three that you feel are worth focusing on.
Okay. I'm going to open it up for discussion here. Go ahead, Jane.
Well, you know, I looked at all of these 21 actions, and I'm trying to determine, as from the Harbor Advisory Board, what ones we can grab hold of. And, I mean, these are really big issues, but I don't know, maybe protection of the ecological integrity of the city's primary drinking water, i.e. aquifers, rivers, lakes, and wetlands. Wetlands, the only thing I saw that had anything to do with the water. I don't know. Anybody else find anything else we can deal with? Maybe there are some deals, things we can do with, you know, reducing some of the outboard, you know, two-cycle motors or something like that. Air quality, water quality. You guys help me out here. I'm trying to find some things to hang on to.
I'll help you out.
Okay, we have Ed.
Well, I watched the Parks and Rec discuss this, and I talked to some people about it. The staff has over 60 hours in it already, $4,200 that could have been used for other purposes, for more necessary purposes. Now, this Green Cities Declaration was started out, I believe, by a UN organization. I'm not sure the name of it. But there were different environmental groups all around the world that decided to sign on to this. But the problem was is that when I looked through here, just about everything in here we've already done. I mean, we're going to go to tertiary treatment. Sure, it's going to take 9 years. I know that doesn't make some people happy, but so, you know, everything that's in here has been addressed by this city. We have the least refuse going to the dumps than anybody in the county. We are the second lowest water user in the state of California. We have more trees here today, probably 10 times more trees here today than we did 30 years ago when I came here. We have parks all over the place. Some of them they're having a hard time taking care of now. We have a police and fire department that are understaffed and don't have the buildings. We have potholes in our streets. I can't see spending staff time and city money on this when we have grassroots people that already promote this stuff and always have. And Morro Bay Beautiful is one of them. They planted a lot of stuff around town. So I can't see, really, my position is I'm not going to recommend anything other than to take this and recycle it. That's it for me. If you want to make a recommendation, that's your business. But I don't believe the city has the time. They should even take the time to do this as fluff. This is feel-good stuff because we're already doing most of this stuff here anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's my opinion.
Anyone else? Mandy?
Why am I not surprised by that response? I took a look at this, and some of the stuff we are working on and some of it we aren't. And I kind of compared it to the 2020 vision thing that just came out also and kind of cross-referenced. I don't consider it to be fluff. This is all stuff that, you know, cities need to be taking a look at. So I picked three things that I thought were doable in short term because a lot of these have really long goals. I'm just going, gee whiz. And they're not all harbor and water related, but I didn't think that that's what they wanted us to do. Is I think they wanted to get a feeling from all of the boards of what they thought that the top priority things or the most doable things were. So I just picked my three. And my three were action 5, adopt a citywide law that reduces the use of disposable, toxic, or non-renewable product category at least 50% in 7 years. That is, you know, that's a really specific goal for them to meet, which would be nice.
I was a little frustrated. First of all, obviously it was handed to all the boards, and we weren't supposed to just find harbor items. That was my assumption. But in the cover sheet where it says identify 3 items to focus on for implementation of the Green Cities Declaration. Well, I read the Green Cities Declaration, and I only had a couple of hours on the computer this afternoon, but the 72 acknowledging the importance of the obligations and spirit of the 72 Stockholm Conference. Well, there were 26 items. I was going to print it, but it was going to be about 10 pages. And then there were 40 chapters to the human environment, the 1992 Rio Earth Summit. There were 68 points in the 1996 Istanbul Conference, and there were 72 pages in the 2000 Millennium Development Goals. No, that was 24 pages. There were 72 pages in the 2002 Johannesburg World Summit. And frankly, I didn't have time to print them, nor enough paper, nor certainly enough time to read them all, and that's what we're supposed to be, the city wants us to endorse. I really don't have a problem at all. In fact, I think it's very good. The 2020 document you talked about, I sat on the Destination 2000 committee. If we want to have some local goals for things that we see need to be done to improve our community, I think they should remain as just that, local goals for improving our community, and adopt them. The one thing in here that we would be basically endorsing if we adopted this about water, for instance, where is that? By 2015, we should be using 100 liters per day. Well, Morro Bay is the second lowest water using city in the state, and we use 100 gallons per day. Well, that's a, you know, I mean, we did a lot of camping this summer. We were on the road for 3 months, and I can do a GI shower, and we can all work on things, but I don't think that we're ready to commit to that being something we want to do. We've done it during drought years, and we will again, I'm sure. But I don't think it's necessarily a good thing for us to endorse something unless we're really wanting to, and that's why it's better to pick things that we want to do, have them as community goals rather than endorsing something, a document like this that calls for things that maybe shouldn't be on the list.
Okay. Additional comments? Go ahead, Jim.
I think the city of Morro Bay and is doing a commendable job conservation of energy here, based on the report that we were given. And I, too, would have trouble in picking out 3 items that would be goals that we should strive to achieve. I think this is obviously just off the cuff, but as someone with sociological background, I think the initial problem that the United Nations needs to deal with is population control. And if they get some control of that, then maybe these other problems wouldn't reach the magnitude that they do.
That's not one of the
answers. I know. You're right. Yeah. Anyway, that was my off-the-cuff comment.
No, you're up next, Ed.
Well, basically, it boils down to this with me. I know that I talk to a lot of people around town, both sides of the fence. I believe we're already doing, like I said, we're already doing most of this stuff. But we're in a budget crunch. We still are. We've got streets that are unrepaired. We've got infrastructure that needs to be fixed. We've got firehouses that need to be built. And I can't see spending staff time or any money. If they had discretionary funds, it was fine. But my recommendation to this would be to send no recommendation to the council. Just leave it at that.
Additional? Okay. Do I have any motion? Go ahead, Gene.
So we're not trying to find something for the harbor specifically to... This is basically for us to recommend to the city for the city to do something?
I don't think we were given any direction.
Okay.
I mean, it was come up with three things. And I've
any of these unless they had a cost analysis study done to find out what it's going to cost to do these things. Because right now, that's what I'm concerned with. And like I say, the majority of people I talk to are worried about our potholes in our streets and our infrastructure and our fire department and on and on and on. So that's what, you know, if they want to send it back with the cost analysis on each action item over the next 3, 4, 5, 8, 10 years, whatever they're going to do, fine. But as far as I'm concerned, I just recommend sending it back with no recommendation.
Okay, so far we have, Mandy has proposed three. Are you going to put that in as a motion?
Not necessarily. I mean, I was just, you know, they gave us a goal and I grabbed them. It's not necessarily something I feel really strongly about. I was a little disappointed not to see a few things that were more harbor related, real honestly. Mm-hmm. So, and it's real unclear what they want of us. So that I just did what I was told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My own feeling was that I looked at this and said, three things I can come up with. There's that whether this has to do with the harbor, but the bike path or a bike bridge that connects North Morro Bay with South Morro Bay out through Coleman Park area. Solving our dilemma with the fishing problem, and then possibly doing something with the what is a park but is not a park out at the Rock. It's a mud hole sometimes. It's potholes. But that was all I could think of, and I'm not even going to.
They're on the list.
They're not on the list. They're not on the list. Okay. Anyhow. If anyone would like to make a motion as to what three things we would like to recommend to the City Council, please do so now.
I'll make a motion that we recommend 0, 0, and 0, those three things.
Do I have a second? I don't have a second?
No.
Okay, so... So it dies for the motion dies for lack of a second. Any other motions?
Well, just a question. Could we look into biodiesel? I mean, that's. I know we already have, but I mean, we're trying to come up with something we can do. I mean, that's something we can do, and that's item number 14. Action item number 14.
You would like to make a motion that we recommend to the city?
That's one of them.
Okay.
Well, I'll pick 14. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I second that. I think that's a really good idea. And would a wastewater be something that wastewater would be harbor related?
Okay. We have a motion. We have a second. Do we have any discussion?
Just a moment. Motion and second on biodiesel, I think, only, right?
That's the only one so far.
Okay.
That's the only one I have.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
No more discussion. All in favor of this is to recommend to the City Council that one of the items on the green cities list would be biodiesel. All in favor?
Aye.
1, 2, 3.
No.
Opposed?
No.
No. The motion carries with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 ayes.
Opposition being Mr. Ewing and Ms. Meiser. Yes, thank you.
Okay, are there any other motions?
I would like to make a motion that we also recommend action item number 21. It's very harbor relatable, and it's about municipal wastewater.
Item 21. Okay. I have a motion to include action 21. Do I have a second? Failing a second? Okay, we have a second. We have a discussion. No discussion?
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
I'm trying to catch up. Adopting this would be as a goal, correct? Because it's certainly not in concert with what's going on in discussion with the JPA, with Cayucas and City Council as far as the wastewater treatment plant. My problem with what we were presented and in looking at these...
With the boats that are discharging directly into the bay, and there are still some out there that I know of, and that is harbor-related, although it's not specific in the of the action item stated, it's certainly remote.
Okay. Mandy?
There's also one more item. I mean, yeah, we are headed towards tertiary, which is great, but they also refer to expanded use of recycled water and the implementation of a sustainable urban watershed planning process, which would be an expansion, you know, and would be great for this community.
Mm-hmm. Additional comments? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
We have one nay. Okay. I'll make a motion that the City Council look into connecting North Morro Bay with South Morro Bay via bicycle bridge across Morro Creek at down there where the, what is that, trailer park down there. Okay, that's a motion.
I'll second that.
Oh, you have a second. Okay. Discussion.
I thought they were going to put a small two-lane road in there temporarily if they did the power plant.
Yeah.
And then they could convert that. You want to go spend city money on this bike bridge right away?
No, not right away. No, oh. Absolutely not.
Oh, so how long is
it? We as soon as we get out of this...
When
if
you'll
right
add, how about adding when affordable?
When affordable, okay.
I can vote for that.
When affordable.
I have a question whether this item is even on your agenda. I think you might be going a little far afield.
Okay. You think it's a little too specific?
I think so, yeah. Unless I can't find it anywhere noticed or anywhere in that item.
Okay. Under transportation.
I could be wrong.
Improved transportation. No, okay. I'll drop that. Okay, is there any other motions? Nothing. In that case... We will go with two items recommended to the City Council. And that's it. Additional comments on this? Okay, we're moving on to information items. Harbor Department status report.
Thank you. All right. Thank you again. Yes, Sue has asked me to... Sorry about that, but me to present this because she's got a cough, but she will help us at about midway through just to break it. Fishing Heritage Group Forum, okay, actually CMANC, I think I'll provide you a quick report. We did this for council also. CMANC in Washington was a very productive trip, very busy, met with lots of agencies. I'll give you the details if you want, but you've heard it all before, and I think we spent approximately even a little less money than we did previous years, and I'm not sure exactly why that was. Sue reminds me. Yeah, the plane tickets were a little less this year. And we did more than we've ever done before. We're making good progress at OMB, which is, I think, the fourth year now we met with OMB, and that seems to be working well. all the usual other meetings that we had, including a very, very good meeting with Mrs. Capps. And while the National History Program and Gary Regrone of the Bay Foundation, National History Program, Dan Berman, myself, and the mayor met with her for almost half hour. And I covered Morro Bay issues on both sides, and I think showed her how well we work together, which is a nice thing. The Harbor Walk project, as we report here, the Coastal Commission did, at your last agenda, we gave you that agenda item background. The Harbor Coastal Commission did hear the item in Monterey in March. They made very few changes in their conditions, especially the conditions of concern to the city. The conditions that were of special concern to the board were their proposal to designate the areas east of Embarcadero Dirt Extension and east of the, mostly east of Embarcadero Dirt Extension is the biggest concern now, is environmentally sensitive habitat or sensitive habitat. And they are still asserting that interpretation of that area, which is contrary to our biological assessments. And so this item, I believe, is on the council's agenda for Monday night. I didn't have a chance to look through my packet, but I was told it was. And the item will be to present to council a most current cost estimate for the mitigation packages and the conditions set by Coastal Commission and for the overall project now, because that's the really changing factor, is these conditions, the new conditions from the Coastal Commission, and request for direction from the council whether they'd like to proceed with the project or not. Below the floor that is required, therefore there is essentially zero take allowed of Klamath fish, and the moving the fisheries all south of Point Sur will, and by their estimate, hopefully eliminate any take of Klamath fish. Even there, there's, by all accounts, it looks to be one of the most plentiful years in the ocean for salmon. This is all in relation to protecting one run on the Klamath River. Has very little to do with fishing, all about stream management, water diversion, water politics. But if indeed the PFNC does make that recommendation, the state of California, in their meetings, I believe, tomorrow, we'll have little choice but to close the rec season that is now open, because it was open April. The intention was always open at April 1. It is now open up north. Most likely outcome is that they will put a two-week notice on tomorrow to close the rec season up north also, although these are things I'm speculating on. This is considered the most likely outcome. Let's hope there might be other options, but at this point, this is what we have to. This is what I would estimate would happen: is tomorrow there will be a two-week notice to close the rec season, and a notice that the commercial season will only open on May 1. Will open on May 1 as planned, but only south of Sur. So, good for our harbor in some ways, because if what salmon fishing, if there's fish, which is a critical factor, and there appears it may be, but our harbor, I guess, will have the only landings in California. Now, there may be some season later on up north or not. That's some possibility still, or there may not. We'll see. But the prime part of the season appears to be all down south. And this will be a disaster for commercial businesses. If the state of California does indeed close the recreational season, that also has... I can't imagine how the sport landings in the Bay Area and north are going to survive with a five-month groundfish season. And as many of you have been hearing on the radio and TV, they're all reporting they will be closed.
Just one update there. I know they need about 5 or 6 days or maybe a week and a half or so to get that dock finished that are without rain. So have you talked to anybody about the permit process for the ice machine lately? How's that coming along?
The building permit process is probably what you're referring to, because that's what we need. Yeah, we're just about finished with the dock retrofit project. You've got to pour the slab. We have two issues, the steel, and we need to make sure that we're still completing an inspection on the steel frame to make sure that it's built as per the shop drawings and properly inspected. And we need to get a building permit for the installation of the equipment, not the dock. And we are working on that. We've hired an architect for the equipment installation to prepare plans. And the steel is an open issue we're still working on. So that's where that ice machine project is.
Yeah, I don't I don't have any doubts that we won't have it by first of salmon season, but maybe within a month after that, I would hope so.
I hope so, too.
Did TRJ or TR, was it TR, what is it, TRJ or TRW down south, did they say what their schedules were for coming up?
TRJ Refrigeration. He right. won't commit to, until I can give him a specific day, he won't commit to me, but he has hinted that if we're ready in May, there's some likelihood that we can get an installation crew. And I will have a report for the cable committee actually ready for you in the office, I think, tomorrow.
Rick, that fish kill on the Klamath, that was caused by the federal people. Not has there been any movement toward changing the attitude of the federal people on the letting the water into the Klamath?
Well, and that's a very, very complicated answer that I certainly couldn't approach, but I can tell you there was some very good news, I think, for everybody, except for possibly those folks who may use the water in the high water use farms upstream, and that is that a federal court recently came down with a decision that said that required the federal government to indeed protect the water flows in the Klamath River. So there's still some fall. No, I believe it looks to be this may be very good long-term sign that, you know, and this is, it only makes sense to me. I mean, if it's indeed an endangered species, the kill court's decision, as I understood it, was based on a suit that was brought saying, how can you take all these actions to protect an endangered species and let the basic cause, the water diversions upstream, continue to happen? Mm-hmm. And the judge said, basically, you're going to have to let enough water go in the river to make sure that the fish can survive. So that was very good long term. That one can hope that in the long term there is real, you know, management and water politics will have possibly less influence. But for the short term, the disaster is there's no avoiding this disaster. There is not enough fish returning. There were not enough fish returning last year, and there are not enough fish returning this year. Well,
the Fish and Game did set a deadline of March 31st for vessels to be removed from the Back Bay. That being said, what happened was, I guess they sent out letters, and people got them, but there's still going to be some time lag for them to go through all their legal processes before things will physically start being removed. We have had already 4 boats come from the Back Bay to our facilities, and part of this was they actually put in one of the letters that the city has dockage available, and in a way that made it sound like it was permanent, and we really do not. So we are being a little bit proactive. We have made a form for all the boats coming from the Back Bay, partially based on the board's recommendation that we do not expend money on those Back Bay boats, that, number one, if we have to tow a boat from the Back Bay to city facilities, those people will have to pay for the tow and pay for a month's dockage fees in advance. And really the only places we have available would be first come, first serve at the pier, which is not necessarily the best spot for smaller boats. First come, first serve in the anchorage area, which is a fairly small area, and first come, first serve on the floating dock, which is also fairly small. And both the floating dock and the anchorage area have a 30-day limit in any 6-month period. So it is a very limited dockage that we're really able to provide to people. So we will see what happens with that. My guess is the paperwork process will take a while, and it will probably be, I would guess, at least a month before we really see physical action happening with the remaining boats back there.
Okay. No questions.
I guess I will ask a question, Rick, on your Washington trip.
Yes.
What do you foresee realistically as far as harbor mouth maintenance? Do they understand it's more important to do it regularly and keep it up and spend the money than wait for people to die and for it to get completely silted in?
What I foresee is that we will probably end up again next year, starting October 1 in next year's federal budget, with about 1.3, 1.4 million. Because we have such great congressional support and the CMANC support network, we are doing better than most small harbors have been doing with dredging. And a good examples are the Pacific Northwest. Many small harbors are simply going without dredging now. And unfortunately, because of reduction in traditional coastal uses, fishing and logging, they can't talk about economics anymore. And I hear Ilwaco is really a ghost town. Anyway, and I know they have dredging problems. So what I foresee is that we will continue to do pretty well and assert our case. It is going to get very much more difficult, because the budget problems keep getting worse and worse. And at some point, the pressure comes on the civil works project and the little part of the budget that's discretionary. It's a tough road. Our arguments for economics are difficult to assert at this point. We talk about public safety, and we talk a lot about Homeland Security and the Coast Guard and the station Morro Bay and the need to maintain the harbor. And I think it helps us, too, to be partners and work well with the National Estuary Program, because we write each other letters and talk about the support every year, as you well know, for each other, and how one needs the other, and dredging the harbor is healthy for the overall watershed.
Mm-hmm. So we're still making a sale back there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Snowy plover nesting. I'm sure you've all seen the fencing up. I think we got it pretty much like it was last year. There's a map included, which is a pretty good map. I think the signs are up now, so we should be pretty good situation. Blessing of the Fleet is this Sunday. Yes,
Rick,
sir.
Just a second on the snowy plover. I understood that the sand spit had been delisted as a critical habitat.
Right.
And that, my understanding was that the city wasn't going to be spending a lot of money on fencing, but apparently we did. And
well,
that had come out of the harbor fund.
Hopefully I didn't tell you that. But I might have. I was having a question, too, what that all meant during the winter and the delisting. So the area, the city's part of the sand spit is not now designated clear, but it took, unfortunately, this case, the chief harbor patrol officer and one of the regular harbor patrol officers basically did the work, because we had a manpower problem and the dates were coming. And and Sue says it would have taken us a lot longer even without the state park's help, which is absolutely true. But So we spend quite a bit of staff time on it, and while I'm in the line mode, I'll make a note to you that I made a joke about I hadn't spent much time on the other Green Cities agenda item, but we do spend an awful lot of time both on fishing issues, and I myself have been spending a lot of time on fishing issues and environmental issues throughout the spectrum, to the point where I'm trying to unwind myself a little bit from both, because I'm getting too far behind on a lot of the duties I'm supposed to do, which are lease management and running the harbor. So we got a problem. Both Sue and I are really impacted with a lot of the environmental issues and the fishing issues that we're wound up in, but that's the modern world today. So, the Harbor Patrol gets involved too. And for example, when we actually got to do a real task, those are the guys with shovel in hand. So in this case, we couldn't get the lifeguards to do it, so we had some of the higher paid employees have to do it. They did a great job, and it's out there, and it's well done. Blessing of the Fleet is Sunday, starts at 11:30. We didn't put it in here, but the Yacht Club had a wonderful opening day ceremony. That was really nice. And I believe, Jim, congratulations on being this year's Commodore. It's not like it's news at this point, but anyway, did a wonderful job. It was your 50th anniversary, correct? Which is fantastic. And the facility looked wonderful. It was a beautiful day. It was a great ceremony.
Yeah, it did turn out to be a nice day, didn't it?
It was a lovely day. Yeah, it was really pretty. It was supposed to be rainy, and it turned out to be one of those sparkling days, mornings after all. And the wind just came up perfect for a sailor, too. I think you probably had pretty good races later.
Yeah, terrible races.
Terrible races. Uh-oh. What happened? Too much wind?
Well, it was too much wind.
Too much wind.
Too much wind.
Yeah, Lynn is a deep water sailor, and they were just out there getting sloshed around.
Yeah.
But the inside the bay, we had a broken mast. We had a couple of capsizes.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that. Now that you remember, because it was coming up. It was pretty good at about 10:30. That's not
it was
a good
great
time.
Until, it was great until about 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And after that, downhill.
Yeah. Well, I encourage you all to attend the Blessing of the Fleet ceremony. This is a year, as one of the old-timers put it, and one of the real professionals in the business, they need a blessing this year, because it's really, really tough for folks. And it's very sad for us for having to deal with these people, so many of them in the later part of their lives that just have no choice, not no choices. They have lots of choices. They're highly skilled and people that can do almost anything, but it's very, very difficult business to be in here for the next couple of years. Salmon fishermen, or just fishermen in general. Slow sea meeting. You want to try that one too, or you in the? How's your voice? She's going to give us a quick try on this.
I provided a brief overview. This was an all-day meeting. It was one of the first meetings of the advisory committee to Slow Sea, which is the San Luis Obispo Science and Ecosystem Alliance. And originally, they had called it something like the Morro Bay Ecosystems-Based Management Plan, and they wanted something that would have a little easier handle to it. So that's why they came up with Slow Sea. And the advisory committee was formed to serve and provide input to the people that manage the program, to make recommendations on some of the studies they'll be doing, to coordinate activities, and to provide a forum for different user groups and regulatory agencies to coordinate efforts and share information. And most of the things they discussed at this meeting were the overall program goals, which in a nutshell is to try to start looking at an overall holistic ecosystems-based focus on managing the whole nearshore system, not just looking at the watershed, not just looking at the bay, not just looking at the fish, but looking at the whole ecosystem. That being said, it's a huge goal, and I think a very lofty goal, and we'll see what happens. They are going to be starting on some surveys that I think will be very useful to everybody here. The initial focus will be in the Morro Bay area and the nearshore area, but I think ultimately they will broaden their focus to include the entire county nearshore area. But they're going to be starting on some within the bay and nearshore bathymetry and habitat mapping surveys, and they're also going to be doing an in-bay fish habitat and survey, which I think is great. It's something they need to do, and it's something that will give us some potentially good, somewhat baseline information on fish in the bay while the power. So I think that's about it. I think the next meeting was set tentatively for May 15th or 17th, but I don't know that we have the date set for sure yet. And sorry about that. I was looking to see. I did find out later, and that's probably why it's not in here. There is a website that has some information on this, and I think if you either look by Slow Sea or if you look at Cal Poly Research, you can find a link to it that way.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for the staff? Okay. Moving on, additional comments.
Last month I talked about the conversations I'd had with state parks on signage, and I did get a call back. State parks is having to review and reassess all of their signage because they don't meet ADA requirements, the size of the print or something, and so I'm serious. But they have encountered some signs that are put out by another agency. The lifeguards use them in Southern California. I don't know if they're beach cities or county signs or who puts them out, but they're in use, and they're going to get some of those and put them up temporarily until their own signs have been revamped. I hope that you'll look into, you know, seeing what you can do to participate with them and make sure that the city signage on the city's limited beaches is also up to speed as far as the riptide and rip current signage, and that's what they're addressing. So that's moving forward and hopefully will happen.
The board did ask for an agenda item at their last meeting, and the way it's looking with the budget, it's going to be difficult for May. I'm wondering if the board might allow more discretion, because partly in response to that, but it's something we wanted to do for a long time. We're actually putting a little budget item in our budget development to update all our signage on the beach to this Christmas tree kind of approach with all kinds of odd signage on it. We've got a variety of signs ourselves, so Eric's going to lead that. But, you know, we might be able to, if I guess what I'm going on about is wondering if you really want to do that agenda item in May per previous direction, or we could put that on later in the summer possibly and even make a presentation with a little more meat to it.
Would signage be in place before next winter's heavy surf season? That's my main concern.
Well,
we're kind of downhill now on the winter.
Yeah, glacial speed of government. I can't guarantee it. That would be our hope, that would be timing would be about that, yeah. But, you know, let's keep the agenda item, possibly just with the understanding that we might do it in August, September, something like that.
Okay.
July, typically, as a reminder, the July meeting is canceled.
Mm-hmm. Typically.
Rick, I don't mind deferring putting it on the agenda, but could you at least call Nick Franco and see if those signs are of minimal expense? My sense is they're fairly small, but they're going to string them up on the plover cable fencing so that, you know, people will see them on their way to the beach.
Yeah, and calling them would have been a part of our sign development process, and that's a great suggestion, because if they got, they probably would, in the process of telling us too, if there's different signage for the plover fencing, they'll let us know, I'm sure. But yeah.
Okay. Additional comments? Go ahead.
Rick, the State Park Marina's Boat Owners Association was told that the repairs would be made by State Park to the parking lot out there in November of last year, and then more recently we were told they would be done the first week of March, and obviously they haven't been done. Do you have any inside information as to when that might happen?
No, and I won't risk. That would be State Parks I would have to refer you to, as you well know. To try and divert attention, I would say that I also told you and the marinas group that we were going to do a sediment sample, another sediment sampling, I believe at the end of I think that was at the end of February probably. That also got delayed because of the rain. We've set it up three times now, and the rain is just, they can't get set up. The samples won't have integrity unless there's a minimum of turbidity in the water and the whole potential contamination with rainwater and everything else. So we still have not been able to schedule that thing, so there's some delays in that. And on my end,
The fuel dock, I think that I want to get together with Rick. We spoke of some other things. So for this, not for May, but possibly later on.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else? Do you want to go home?
Let's go home.
All in favor of going home?
Aye.
Okay. Gene, Mandy.